The Ballet Russe was a company of Russian dancers in Paris at the beginning of the 20th century, run by the legendary impresario Serge Diaghilev, the model for the dictatorial impresario in the most famous film about ballet, The Red Shoes. A new documentary called Ballet Russe tells the story of what happened to the company after the death of Diaghilev. That film has just come out on DVD, and classical music critic Lloyd Schwartz has a review.
When Serge Diaghilev died in 1929, his Ballet Russe dissolved, leaving a legacy of history-making ballets, memorable collaborations with designs by Picasso and Matisse, and music by Debussy and Stravinsky. For 2 years, the dancers had no work and no home. Then the company was revived under the name Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo, with George Balanchine as ballet master. His inspiration was to make three young ballerinas, two of them not yet in their teens, the company's stars. These so-called baby ballerinas, Irina Boronova, Tamara Tumanova, and Tanya Ryabuchinska, became an international sensation, and they all went on to have remarkable and even surprising careers. Ryabuchinska and her husband, David Lishin, for example, became so famous they served as models for the dancing hippo and crocodile in Walt Disney's Fantasia. The history of ballet in the 20th century is a history of great art made out of starvation, egotism, rivalries, defections, betrayals, narrow wartime escapes, love affairs, and lawsuits. Massine took over as ballet master of the Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo when Balanchine's back was turned, then left a few years later to form his own company, at which point he discovered that he had lost all the performing rights to his own ballets. The two rival successors to Diaghilev's company, Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo and the original Ballet Russe, went to court over which one could use the name Ballet Russe. The ultimate descendant of the Ballet Russe was Balanchine's New York City Ballet. In 2000, some 100 surviving members of all the Ballet Russe companies met in New Orleans for their first reunion in 40 years. Using that event as a starting point, filmmakers Dan Geller and Dana Goldfein have put together an enlightening, endearing, and touching documentary called Ballet Russe. As far as history lessons go, this one is pretty colorful, owing mainly to the uninhibited, often deliciously gossipy interviews with the dancers themselves, most of them at least in their 80s when this film was made, and each one a character. Danish dancer Nini Teilhardy tells a hilarious story about Bacchanal, a Messine ballet designed by Salvador Dali, in which as Venus she had to slide through the womb of a giant swan. Opening night, she slid into the Yugoslavian consul, who had walked onto the stage by mistake. He tipped his hat to her and said, "How do you do, madame?" Afterwards, Messine said it was a pity he didn't think of it before. Several dancers, including Natalie Krasovska herself, tell the story about Krasovska's wedding when the company was in Hollywood.
I didn't like to be in Hollywood too much at that time. I have trouble with men. I've always been in love.
Natalie Krasovska one time decided she was in love with the first violinist. And I was the best man at the wedding.
And Mr. Denham didn't give me one day for my honeymoon. I have to perform the same day.
It had to be in the Russian church. It had to be in the Russian way with the crowns above their heads and the candles. And she had her white veil.
Suddenly the veil catches fire.
And she still was standing there, totally oblivious that, you know, the flames were pouring around her head.
It was something else, and of course then the Russians say, disaster. Of course, 6 weeks later, she's divorced.
Raven Wilkinson, the first African-American dancer in any major ballet company, tells a more painful story.
We went that first fall and toured all the rest of the United States, came back to the South, nothing happened. And the next year, and nothing happened. And then suddenly it started. I remember Montgomery. We came into town on the bus, and the Klan was having a rally. They were all out in the hoods and the gowns and everything. And these two men came down the aisle of the theater and yelled up on the stage, "Hey, where's the nigger?" We didn't say anything. So they came up on the stage. They went to one group and they said, "Where's the nigger?" And nobody batted an eye. And they came to the next group and nobody batted an eye. Then they came to the group I was in. And nobody batted an eye. So they had to go away. And I swear their necks were red.
The daily grind and the privations of one-night stands were exhausting. But here's grown-up baby ballerina Irina Baranova summing it all up.
It was difficult, but we loved what we were doing. All right, we would get tired, but it never occurred to us to say, "Oh, a union, I'm going to call the union, you can't do that to us." No. It was fun, it was great, and sometimes you even got paid. What more do you want?
The filmmakers have unearthed hours of rare archival footage, some of it dating back to wind-up 16mm cameras in the 1930s, most of it never before seen in public. These extraordinary clips, some of them from lost ballets, and all of them too brief if you ask me, prove what amazing artists these dancers were and what dazzling things they were asked to do. Five of them have died since their interviews in 2000, and the film is dedicated to their memory. It's a loving and fitting tribute.
Lloyd Schwartz is classical music editor of the Boston Phoenix and teaches English at the University of Massachusetts Boston. He reviewed the new documentary, Ballet Russe.